Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Monday. Here are some of the things we will be discussing on the show today. Well, let's see if Friday's rally can continue because futures are looking up this morning. Of course, on Friday, we saw it down and then we saw it erase all of those losses. I guess you could call it Woodstock for capitalists. Over the weekend, of course, Warren Buffett and his buddy Charlie Munger holding a big shareholder meeting. So we're going to tell you some of the things that came out of that as well. And oil, my goodness, oil WTI over $70 for the first time since 2014. More on this and other financial news coming your way this hour on Straight Talk Money. Good morning, everybody. I'm Peggy Tuck. And of course, joining me from Dallas, Texas, I have got our portfolio manager, Charles Sizemore. Good morning, Charles.
Good morning.
Oh, there you are. Good. things looking pretty rosy. Friday was a nice, we had a nice rally. In fact, the Dow ended up nearly 1.4% and the S&P up as well, 1.3%. So nice rally. We'll see. It's a very positive morning. Warren Buffett has been appearing on CNBC. I think he's doing like a 3-hour stint. And he always has a lot of really positive things to say. Hopefully that's going to affect the markets today.
Yeah, so we've been range-bound really since February. You know, the market really hasn't gone anywhere in, call it 3 months now. But that's normal. It's normal during the correction. But the last couple days here, it definitely has been looking up. So we'll see. Is this just another sort of, small, wrinkle here in the correction? Or is this the start of, a decent run? We won't really know till after the fact, but, let's enjoy it while we can. It looks good today.
Well, let's talk about some of the things that are coming out over the weekend with Berkshire Hathaway. Warren Buffett's still on there. I think he's on until 9 this morning, as a matter of fact. Some of the things that he was saying, definitely an opinion, and Warren Buffett is one of those that if you're at a cocktail party and he's talking, you definitely want to be listening. The one thing I like about is he does admit that he has made mistakes. One of his mistakes that he considers is Amazon.
Yeah, so Warren Buffett is humble. I mean, in an industry that does not necessarily, what was that movie from the 80s, Bonfire of the Vanities? It's not really an industry that you think of as being run by humble people, but Buffett has always kind of, he and Charlie Munger both have always managed to have that little bit of self-effacing humor and humility. And I think that's why they're good at their job, that they don't, that they're willing to admit when they're wrong. So Buffett was wrong, and then he wasn't wrong when it comes to Amazon. He was obviously wrong in the sense that he didn't buy it. And
he didn't get it. Yeah, he just didn't get it at the time, he said. Yeah.
But, Buffett also has historically avoided technology companies. And I contend that Amazon is not really a retailer. It gets lumped in with retail companies. That's the sector that S&P assigns it, for example. It's in the S&P retail, it's not an S&P technology. I consider Amazon a technology company, first and foremost. It's a technology company that has revolutionized retail, but it's not a retail company. And Buffett has always, his approach has always been, look, technology is a crapshoot. You might get it right. You might get it wrong. I don't know. I don't really have any expertise in that area. I prefer to stick with what I know, buying good companies when they're trading for cheap and, just taking advantage of that. And so I would say Buffett wasn't necessarily wrong to avoid Amazon. I mean, he just, it didn't fit his mandate. It just wasn't a stock that was ever going to be on his radar, really. That said, I mean, Buffett's the first to admit, hey, this is a fantastic company, and, I wish I had a piece of it.
Right. And Google was the other one that he passed on. I guess he said he's sorry that he missed that one as well.
He changed his tune on Google a few years ago, and he said, look, I didn't really realize that Google really has a moat. And I really had the same deal, because if you think about it, Google, before Google became the dominant search engine, we had Yahoo, we had AltaVista, we had a bunch of others, right? Google came out of nowhere and just buried them. And so my thinking, 15 years ago was, well, if it's that easy to just come out of nowhere and bury the existing search engines, what's to stop something new from coming out of nowhere and burying Google? Mm-hmm. What I failed to realize, and what Buffett failed to realize too, I can proudly say I made the same mistake Buffett did on this one, is the infrastructure of the internet was still new back then. And at this point, the internet has basically been built around Google. Every website, I mean, my website, your website, everybody's website is built specifically to be optimized for Google. And that is a moat. Now, hey, I still say technology is highly disruptive. Something could disrupt Google, sure. But, there are, Buffett loves moats. He loves the defensive moats around companies. And, he failed to see the moat around Google until fairly recently. And at this point, who knows? I would have never imagined Buffett buying Apple back in the day. And now he's one of the largest shareholders. I think Buffett actually is the largest active shareholder in Apple right now. There's I know Vanguard has a bigger position because the Vanguard is 500, of course. But they're passive managers. If you look at actual active discretionary managers, Buffett's the largest shareholder in the world of Apple right now. So I would have never imagined that back in the day. So who knows? Buffett may eventually go buy Google or Amazon. We'll see. Probably not. I think they're a bit rich. They're a bit richly priced for his liking at the moment. But yeah, we'll see.
Well, it was interesting because yes, you did mention Apple. Apple is on watch again today because we know that Berkshire bought 75 million more Apple shares during the first quarter, and he's indicated that he would even still buy more at the right price. But get this. Berkshire is going to make $700 million a year from Apple collecting dividends. Now, there's a dividend player for you.
Well, I mean, oh, for sure. And remember, the yield on Apple is less than 2%. Last I checked, I want to say it yielded about 1.6% or something. So it's actually not a high-yielding stock. Mm-hmm. But when you own that much of it, it adds up. So, yeah, that's I'm not surprised at all to hear that.
Well, it's interesting because you mentioned the moats, and Elon Musk was out, and apparently he thinks that's silly, and probably because he doesn't have
Elon Musk might have had a nervous breakdown. And I say this, I really like Elon Musk.
Yeah,
I really like the guy. I think he's one of those.
Charlie Munger says he's brilliant. Yeah, I mean he is. He's a brilliant guy. Yeah.
He's a brilliant guy. I don't know if he's, when history judges us all someday, I mean, who knows what it'll say about his business acumen, but I think it'll definitely say he's a visionary, for sure. And I think he had a bit of a meltdown in his analyst conference call a couple days ago.
Yes, he did.
He just started cutting people off and just started saying, no, I'm not going to answer that question. That's boring. I don't want to answer boring questions. I think the guy
he was very rude. And Charles.
I think that's not like him.
Yeah, and his stock paid for it, too.
Oh, it did, because it looks like the guy's kind of losing his stability. But, yeah, he kind of made some barbs at Warren Buffett, which was very uncharacteristic of him. I think we're bumping up on a break here. We might have to touch on the other side. But a bit of a war of words.
It's a war of tweets going on right now, mostly on Musk's side. Anyway, folks, we're going to take a break. You're listening to Straight Talk Money. We will be back after these important messages.